absolutely love Christmas. From the turkey to the tinsel, from the mince pies to the manger, from the Christmas pudding to the poinsettia. I love it all. Now, a few weeks ago, James asked some of the people here at New Life what it is they enjoyed about the different aspects of Christmas. And here, we're going to see some of the things that they said.
My favourite Christmas film is probably a film called Nativity. Yeah, it's about a child being born, and it's kind of comedy as well. So it has a child being born, basically Jesus, and then like gifts being given, but not really gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember it's called, but Scrooge. Yeah, the one with Scrooge, because it's really funny. I really like it.
I love Scrooge. It's everything, you know, about Christmas. And, you know, it's about this guy who has everything, doesn't treat people particularly well. But then he has these revelations. He's visited by, you know, Christmas past, future and present. And it's such an adorable film. And, you know, Scrooge changes. And I just love it. And I'm in bits every time I watch it.
The gifts. Most of the time you don't know what you're going to get.
Being with my family, yeah, just basically togetherness.
That we get to celebrate that was the day when Jesus was born.
The time with family.
I think for me it's about family and giving and just spending time with people who might be lonely, who don't have anybody.
My favourite part of Christmas is probably opening presents because I like presents.
When I got the present that I really wanted for Christmas, what I did was just ran straight into my room and started using it.
What's your favourite memory that you've had?
Happy presents!
Of opening presents?
I know, opening presents and my grandma's turkey.
Before Christmas, and I had asked my mum for this CD, and we were in the supermarket, and my mum told me to go and get something, and she had picked up the CD while I was gone, so I didn't even know that she was getting it while I was gone.
For me, it was many years ago, I got this very beautiful nightdress. Of course, like any bit of clothing I ever had, it was way too big, and within 5 minutes of putting it on, it had a big hole at the bottom where I'd gone through it.
Eating the chocolate log which my nana makes me.
My favourite part of the Nativity was when Jesus was born and then everyone came round him.
It's the star that guided the wise men and, you know, the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus, which were...
gold, myrrh and frankincense.
It's when he gave the gifts, when the three kings gave the gifts to Jesus.
When the angel comes down to tell Mary that she's going to have a baby.
Wow, so many things to look forward to this Christmas time. I'm sure there's lots of things that you're looking forward to too. But before we get overtaken by parties, puddings and presents, I want to leave you this afternoon with a thought for Christmas. Something to take away from here this afternoon as we're enjoying this very special time of the year. You know, Christmas comes at the end of the year, and as the year draws to a close, it's a chance to look back over the year and the things that have happened in these last 12 months. I'm sure for every one of us that sat here this afternoon, some of the things this year have been very good. Some things may have been hard. Perhaps even there've been some remarkable things. I want to tell you this afternoon about one remarkable thing that happened earlier this year in my family. One morning this summer, I got an unexpected phone call. It was from my son, David. He's working as an electrician on a building site here in London. He phoned me to tell me that he'd had an accident and that he had fallen from a scaffold tower. When I heard about the fall, my mind started racing. I imagined how he might have been injured. He told me how he'd fallen from the tower, pulled the tower over towards him as he fell. I knew the floor was concrete, and so I was afraid of how he might have been injured, The tower fell on top of him. What could have happened to him? My mind was full of images of how he could have been injured. Now, the reason I'm telling you our family drama and what went wrong that day was because as I've thought about the Christmas story, I've realized how things went so very wrong for Mary and Joseph and their special baby that first Christmas. You see, on that first Christmas, many things were far from ideal. Christmas seemed to be going wrong in so many ways. To start with, Mary was pregnant, very pregnant. And just at a time when she was about to give birth, when she needed to be at home with her family, she was forced instead to travel. It was a long journey, it was a difficult journey to Bethlehem, forced because of a census ordered by the Roman emperor. And then when they arrived in Bethlehem, she needed somewhere warm, somewhere safe to have her baby. But there was no accommodation. All the town was full. All the hotels were overflowing. And then the king of the region, Herod, was jealous when some wise men came and told him about a new king that had been born in his region. So he tried to kill Jesus by slaughtering all the young babies in the town. You see, lots of things about that first Christmas seemed to be going wrong. Anyway, back to my son, David, to continue what happened. When he came home that night, he told me the full story. And I realized that things that could have gone wrong, very wrong, remarkably, they didn't. You see, the week before the accident, David had been working on his own on the building site. If he had fallen at that time, he would have been alone. But the day before the accident, he'd been given a colleague to work with. Remarkably, on the day of the accident, he had someone with him. Now, David's a big chap. He was playing the guitar here early on. He's 6'7". And as he fell from the tower, rather than jump out of the way, the colleague put out his arms and caught David as he fell. As David fell back, he let go of the scaffolding tower, which fell back the other way. So David was saved. Remarkably, what could have gone wrong didn't. You know, and to me, it was a miracle. I'm so thankful to God. But as I've thought afresh this year about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, I've realized that what could have gone wrong actually didn't. You see, Mary did arrive safely in Bethlehem. The ancient writings had prophesied that the Savior would be born in that specific town. And so this is why the census proved so important in getting her to the right place where Jesus was to be born. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, there was no accommodation for them. They did find somewhere warm and safe in the stable, as we know. And that was the perfect place to receive the shepherds who'd been sent by the angels to come and worship this newborn king. Of course, the shepherds would have never got even into the Bethlehem Hilton. And then there was the fact the king ordered the killing of those babies in that town. But that very night, an angel came, woke Joseph in the middle of the night and told him to leave that town immediately. You see, remarkably, all those things that could have gone wrong that first Christmas, they didn't. You know, I've been amazed at the miracle of how my son was saved. But I've been even more amazed about the miracle of Jesus' birth. See, the greater miracle of Christmas is this, that the infinite, eternal God should humble himself, somehow limit himself to become a tiny, vulnerable baby. The miracle of Christmas is this, that the God who made 100,000 million galaxies, that God entered his creation as the weakest and smallest of all humans, as a baby born to a poor teenager. I've been just struck this Christmas. What an extreme event that was. A unique act in the whole of history, because God knew we needed an extreme solution to our human condition of lostness and brokenness. Writer Max Lucado said this, "If our greatest need for mankind, humankind, had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was for forgiveness, God sent us a savior." You know, we heard earlier the reading from the Bible. Those angels came to that hillside in Bethlehem, brought to the shepherds that special message. The angels said, a Savior has been born to you this night. Now, that message was a surprise, a big surprise for those shepherds. Maybe it's a surprise for you too this afternoon, that you and I would need a Savior. Why do we need someone to rescue us? You only need to be rescued if you're in some kind of trouble. Well, we certainly look around us in the world, just turn on the news, and it's full of trouble and problems all around us. But why do you need a Savior? Some Christmas shoppers were asked this very question, what do you need to be saved from? They responded this. Someone said this, I need to be saved from worry. Someone else said, I need to be saved from my debts. Someone else said, I need to be saved from my anger. Another said, I need to be saved from my past. And even someone said this, I need to be saved from myself. Now notice the angels, this was the message of the angels. A Savior has been born for you this night. See, this baby, Jesus, is a personal Savior. Jesus is my Savior, is your Savior. How is this possible? How can a little baby be a Savior? The clue is in the gifts that were brought by the wise men that day. We know, all know they brought the three gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. It's this last spice of myrrh that is the key to the destiny of the child that Mary held that night. It was the gift of myrrh that must have caused Mary to stop and think about the future of the child she held in her arms. You see, a gift of gold signified a king. That must have made her think about his future. A gift of frankincense was a spice used in worship. That must have made her ponder on the identity of the child she had born. But it was myrrh. You see, myrrh was a burial spice. Myrrh was a spice only needed for the dead. What a poignant, what an unusual gift for a baby. And this is our clue. This is our clue. Because this baby was born with a destiny. This baby was born to die. Born to die in such a way that would be significant. Die in such a way that would rescue us from the things that are broken in our lives. To die in such a way that we could be forgiven for the things that we regret. To die to rescue us from our worry, from our debts, from our anger, from our past, and even from ourselves. That's the best news about Christmas. That's a thought for Christmas worth thinking about. You know, one last thing. The angels said to the shepherds that first Christmas, they announced this, they said, great news, good news of great joy to you and to all people. To all people. This message of Christmas is for all. It's for your neighbor sat on your left and your right. It's for you. This message of Christmas is for us all. I'd just like to finish by praying for us all here this afternoon. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for this remarkable baby that was born 2,000 miles away, 2,000 years ago. That was born with a purpose to die. Die that we could be forgiven. Die that we could know you in a personal and real way. And I pray for myself, I pray for us all, that this message, this Christmas message, would ring in our hearts this afternoon and this Christmas time. Amen. Joe.
Well, fantastic. We're coming towards the end of the carol service. And we've got a final carol to sing. You'll see it on your sheet. And just to quickly say, after we've sung it, we're going to have a fantastic Christmas tea. We're also going to do a colouring competition at the back. And we've got goodie bags for everyone that does a colouring sheet, every under 18 that does a colouring sheet. And we've got special toddler-friendly goodie bags this year, so you need to ask for one if you've got a toddler. We've also got some Christmas tattoos, which you can have on your hands and stuff if you'd like that. The final carol we're going to sing in a moment is Away in a Manger. Now, it's actually one of my favourite carols. I simply adore all the carols. I'm nearly beside myself singing these carols. But this is one of my favourite ones. It's very, very old, very ancient. It's been sung for hundreds of years across Europe and North America. And it's very traditional, but we're not going to sing it as an ancient and traditional song because we're giving it a twist, okay? First of all, we're going to sing it to the American tune. Secondly, it's got a kind of Christmas party thing going on. And thirdly, and probably most challenging of all, we're going to try and build a nativity scene. We've never done this before. We're going to build a kind of nativity scene while we're singing it, okay? So before we sing it, we're just going to introduce the guys who are going to be in this one by one. So first of all, we need Matthew, who's going to be the star. Where is Matthew? Oh, he's got a foot. We've seen a foot. Can he... Do you want to... Oh, he doesn't want to come. He's going to appear in a minute. He's behind the red curtain. You'll have to be careful not to bring him down. Okay. Then secondly, we need Joseph and Mary, which is Joanna and Joel Haruna. Do they want to come up, guys? Yeah, I think we're going to move the manger and the little... Yeah, but no, that's great. That's brilliant. And where's Joe? Well done. Brilliant. He's carrying his headdress. Good man. Well done. This is Joanna. Brilliant. You can sit here. This is Mary. Look at this dress. There we go. We've got the baby in the manger. Now we need some of the others to come and get ready. We need the animals. So the animals are going to come and stand over there. Where's James? James, we need you. We had slight trouble with the masks, okay, so sorry about this. We've got wolves and sheep and hedgehogs, sorry about this. But there was a problem with the delivery company, so we need the animals down over here. They're kind of stable animals, roughly. I'm sure there's some more. Brilliant. Then we need the lone shepherd, which is Patrick. He's hardly got any sheep. He's got this very odd assortment of animals, and he's all by himself, but there we go. So he's the shepherd. We need the Christmas letter guys to go to the back and get ready and to make sure that it spells Christmas. Okay, brilliant. And then we need the kings up here. There's some magnificent kings. Oh, look at this. They're keen, these kings. Wonderful. Some of them are very little and they're coming with some help. So there we got the kings. And then we need the heavenly host, which is Anna and some of the little sunbeams who may or may not come, and it may just be Anna. But we'll take anyone who looks roughly like an angel. Anna, we need you over here. And we got some jingle bells for them. Oh, there's one or two coming who may come with parents. Anyone who's, if any little ones who'd like to come and be part of this are welcome to come. If you want to come and have some jingle bells, you can bring your mum or dad up if they don't mind coming. We'll take anybody. Just got to be able to sing away in a manger. Fantastic. Do you want to give them out? Great. Okay, I think we're good to go.
Away in a manger, no creep for a bear. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet hair.
Hopefully you've managed to... meet someone new. We're going to make a start this afternoon, and so we're going to sing our first carol. So if the singing group could come to the front, that would be fantastic. We're going to sing our first carol. So while we stay standing, our first carol together, it's that lovely, well-known carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're going to enjoy singing this together.
Luke records for us what happened that first Christmas in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. This is what happened 2,000 years ago.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took while Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you very much, Emma and Leonie. Lovely to hear that Christmas story, so fresh, happened so long ago, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, and yet so fresh, as we're going to hear later on, so relevant to each one of us here this afternoon. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our next carol. It's that beautiful carol, lovely, well-known, popular carol, Silent Night.
Going to take a leaf out of Strictly's book now, and we've got a Christmas dance. You'll be glad to know that I'm not going to dance, but some very talented young people are going to come up and dance. So guys who are in Flame or who are in Tribe, who've been practicing, do you want to come on up? And I especially need Aseli and Eliza. Brilliant. Aseli and Eliza, wherever they are, come on up. Brilliant. We might need to move the microphones a tiny bit. We've got a star this year. Look at this. We've got a star and a stable sign, and we've got a manger at the back here. But we're going to dance for you in front of this. Brilliant. This is a kind of jazzy version of Joy to the World, okay? And up on the big screen, the song's going to come, and it will have the words. But because you all seem pretty enthusiastic, we thought you might like to join in with a tiny bit of this, okay? So Aseli and Eliza are just going to show the little middle bit without the music. Do you want to just step forward a minute? There's a bit in the middle and it says, "Joy, joy, joy, you are my joy." It's kind of thrown in there. And this is the actions for it. Eliza, you need to just stand a little bit there. Brilliant. This is the actions for it. Do you want to just show them? See, you could do that. Even I can almost do that. So we need you to stand up. They're going to show it to you once more. Show it before you stand. Hang on a second. Do you want to show it once more? That's the chorus bit. So they're going to dance it in a moment. You can stand up. You'll need a little bit of space, and only the most enthusiastic need join in. But if you'd like to, you're very welcome to, but don't knock people over in your rows, because you will need a little bit of space. So we'd love you to stand up. The words will come up on here, and the guys are going to dance it for you. Have we got all everyone up here? We need some of these younger ones to come a little bit nearer the front. Do you want to come a little bit nearer the front so we can see you? No, they're happy at the back. I can understand that. I think I would want to be at the back. Okay, we're good to go.
Ooh, you are my joy, joy, joy.
This is the Indian flag. For the past 20 years, we have collected money at our annual carol service to fund projects for the poor in India. In previous years, we have given money to an orphanage and have been able to help hundreds of children. This year, we would like to help with a different project in India.
India is facing one of the worst outbreaks of diseases carried by mosquitoes in recent history. These diseases include malaria, dengue, and elephantiasis.
BBC recently reported that hospitals are a breaking point.
across India, and it is estimated that thousands are dying from diseases carried by mosquitoes. 800,000 cases of malaria has been reported in this year. As many as 80,000 people could die this year.
Mosquito nets are the most effective way of preventing being bitten. Jared Long, who was a leader in this church, has been to India this year and organised mosquito nets to be made in India at less than £2 each. He has given 35,000 nets so far this year away.
In 2017, he plans to distribute more mosquito nets, and so the money raised today will go towards nets, and in addition, he will be taking a medical team with him. Baskets are coming round during the next carol. If you would like to help this project, please put cash in the baskets or make checks payable to New Life Church. We will be passing 100% of the money to him. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well done. Thanks, guys. And we're going to be singing again. And as they said, we're going to be collecting an offering for those mosquito nets. Please, there's no obligation. There's no obligation at all. Just enjoy singing. But if you'd like to give a donation to help with these mosquito net projects in India, there'll be an opportunity during this next carol as the baskets come past. Do you want to stand up? Let's all stand together, and we're going to be singing together this next carol, which is Calypso Carol. Fantastic, fantastic. I wonder if you'd stand with us. We're going to sing together our next carol. Let's all stand.